being home. But hey, God was able to bring me to a place of opportunity to put this preach together. And it was quite a blessed time being able to have time in which to do that. So it was just at home sorting this out. So and God really spoke to me about this aspect is how are you doing with forgiveness? Checking it's the right title. So how are we doing with forgiveness? It's a massive thing, living with unforgiveness. It's a massive thing having to deal with, but it's a daily thing that we need to point out. Just thinking about when Jesus talked about in when the disciples said to him, how should we pray? And our Father who art in heaven, sorry, our Father, yeah, that is right. So I thought it started halfway through. In there it talks about give us this day our daily bread and help us to forgive those who sin against. Oh, I've got it all wrong, haven't I? But you know what I mean. It's in there. I should have had it on there. I'm just not going off my notes. That'll teach me not to do that. But it's in there as a fundamental aspect of what we need to do. People keep sinning against us, don't they? Keep wronging us, and we need to forgive. And it's a key fundamental thing. And to get us started off with this, we're going to look at Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. So that's Matthew 18, 21 to 35. I don't know if it's on there. Yes, it is on there. So it's on the screen. Just give you a moment to find it. So this is the parable of the unmerciful servant, and there's three characters in this that we're gonna look at as we go through. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." Massive debt, obviously, here. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay you back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Talked about us forgiving seven times 77. So we're talking about, I'm going to carry on reading from verse 23. It says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay everything back. I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found out one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. And when they told their master, went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all your debt, all the debt of yours, because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Quite a strong, strong message there, but very plain and easy to understand. I find it interesting to just understanding the question. Forgive me. What's being asked here? Peter came to Jesus, which is... I just love the character of Peter in the way that he is. He's so wanting to become a good disciple. He's so wanting to become a good follower. And he's just got this question. Maybe something's happened in his life. Maybe he's having to forgive somebody. And he comes up to Jesus. And notice his first words are, Lord. You know, he accepted Jesus as his Lord. He wasn't saying, teacher, Jesus. He was saying, my Lord. There's an air of submission that he wants to get better at being a disciple. Just as Matt's been preaching to us about being a disciple, Peter is here wanting to be a good disciple, genuinely wanting to change. And I always think about this thing with Peter, because obviously Peter was the one who denied Christ three times. And for Jesus to be on the receiving end of being in this position where he was denied three times, Jesus was probably thinking, do you know what, this is going to be very pertinent to you, Peter, because I'm going to be forgiving you later of this sin of denying me three times. And he thought, yeah, we need to get this right. And I'm going to be thinking of this 77 times plus forgiving later on. But I think Peter gets a bit of a tough time, because we always think about Peter denying Christ three times. But, you know, he was the one who's actually going after Jesus when he was taken away by the priest guards. And he was the one who was, you know, was trying to be there for him. Obviously, we know he fell. But the others had gone. They you know, they're saving their own skin. They were off the scene at the Mount of Olives. They were gone. So I think sometimes we need to think of Peter and think, actually, he's got such a heart to be, you know, a disciple. And then you think, wow, Jesus reinstated him. We see later on where Jesus says to him, you know, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And he mentions it three times. And he reinstates him. Of course, Jesus forgives him for it. And then he leaves the church. He leaves believers, and he feeds his sheep. So Jesus says, feed my sheep. He puts him in charge of God's people at that time. So I think Peter is a great, great guy to be asking this question. So understanding the question, and Peter goes, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And he says, up to seven times. And of course Jesus said, you know, obviously beyond that. But I think it's quite interesting. I quite like the way Peter sort of suggests something to Jesus here. He doesn't just say, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister if they sin against me? And just leaves it there. He gives a little suggestion to Jesus. He goes, hey, let's reason together. I've thought about this, Jesus, and I'm thinking what I can hack is probably about seven times. So what'd you say? Are we with me on this? And I quite like that about him. Because actually, if you think about it, seven times is quite a lot of times to forgive somebody, isn't it, actually? And that's, you know, we all have our sort of limits on things. You know, I sometimes think about, you know, somebody offends you. Actually, three times is quite a lot anyway. But seven, he's pushing it. He's going some way there. So, but it is a challenge. And I thought, you know, seven is probably the top of his scale, so let's say. And, of course... Jesus responds with 77 times. And just so we're totally clear, he doesn't mean that when we get to 78, it's okay to start not forgiving people. It's hyperbole. And if you don't know what hyperbole is, it's an exaggerated statement or claims not meant to be taken literally. So Jesus was not saying, just forgive 77 times. It was all the time. Whoa, that's a tough one. All the time. I have to forgive everyone all the time? Surely not. This is a tough truth to take, and I think that you know, when we think about it, when people have sinned against us, and longer we live, longer we've had this happen, chances for this to happen to us, and it is a tough thing to forgive. We'll look at a little bit more of that later. This is a kingdom principle. Jesus starts this off just going back to the scripture. It says there about, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like. And this idea of is mentioned, the kingdom of God is actually mentioned more than 80 times in the New Testament. In fact, we see it brought into many of the stories, the parables that Jesus brings. We can see that in the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Or the parable of the 10 virgins, when the kingdom of heaven is comparable to 10 virgins who took up the lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were prudent. So this is a principle, this is a kingdom principle of how to live our lives. This is a key thing here. So what we also have, I think it's really helpful to understand this king that we've got. This king is talking about his return, settling things up, getting things dealt with. This is a picture of our King Jesus. He's coming back. He's coming to settle things. When I was going through this, I was thinking, Lord, you know, life can be tough at times, but do you know what? You're coming back. You're coming back to make things right. There's something within us, actually, isn't there? There's something about things being made right. And this is what we're talking about here. God saying, forgiveness, this is part of it. This is living this life, getting things right, forgiveness. And do you know, I'm going to come back. Your king is coming back to sort all debts. All sin is going to be sorted. And, you know, we've got a king who's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. That's how much he's going to make it right. The whole heaven and new earth. That's a great thing. We'll have new bodies, hallelujah. So, do you know what I mean? God is a God who likes setting things right, getting things sorted and fair. I love the fairness of God. He is wise. He is a fair king. So let's look at the response of this king, this wonderful king that we have portrayed here. The servant says, this unmerciful servant goes, be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. So he's not like you're going to your bank manager and going, I can't pay it. So he goes, that's all right, we'll give you more time. Or maybe I'll give you more time with a bit of increased interest. I mean, Job sure wouldn't do that. But a little bit more time, bit of increased interest on it. But no, what we have here, because the question wasn't even asked, it wasn't please take the sin away, take this debt away. It was... It was like, give me more time. But no, he's saying, no, I take it away. Debt is cancelled, totally sorted. And so this is amazing. Looking at this debt was pretty enormous. What we're talking about here is, what was it? It said 10,000, was it? 10,000 bags of gold. Okay, so I looked into this and worked out what this sort of money was linked to, and translates as around 10,000 talents. It would equate to something around £3 million in today's money. I don't know, has anybody got a debt of £3 million? No? No? So I don't know about paying that off. That sounds quite a large amount to sort out. And I worked it out. If this month a merciful servant was to work with only one day off and they earned one denarii a day, that's 312 days, it would take 192,308 years to pay off his debt. So looking at that, it's not got much of a chance of that happening. There's this debt. The point here, again, is that the debt could not be paid. There was no chance that this debt could be sorted. Now, if we then go on to the servant that he went to, this was quite a different thing. This other servant, he was owed 100 silver coins. So 100, if in those days they were earning one denarii a day, that's 100 days to pay it off. And this worked out around about £4,400. Now that sounds a little bit more manageable, £4,400. Yet the unmerciful servant responded in this way. It's quite startling how he would do that. So we have on the one side, we have this king who's wiped this debt away that could not be paid. And that is what we have in our relationship with us, with God. There is a debt that cannot be paid. Our debt of our sin cannot be paid. There's nothing we can offer. God is saying there is nothing, there's no good works, there's no, you know, there's nothing we can put in that place and say, this is good enough to take away my sin. This is good to take away my debt of sin against you, God. As we go through life, we build up sin. And sin is the thing that we need to get rid of that blocks us from our relationship with God. And that is, to get rid of it, it is only the cross of Christ that's going to make that happen. Only the shed blood of Christ that is going to bring us to that place of wiping that debt clear. So humbling to know that. There is nothing that we can bring. On the other side, us towards our fellow man, God is saying, it's 4,400 quid. That's what's going on there. We can forgive, and it can get sorted between our fellow men. We don't have the 3 million to owe to our friends. It's the 4,400. We can do it. So we have us and God. Sin can't be paid except through the blood of Christ. Jesus died in our place. Doesn't that want to transform our lives? Shouldn't that transform our lives? In thinking that we had a debt that we could not pay, yet mercy was shown to us. We then go forward in life when we come across people that we know that have sinned against us. What mercy. I need to forgive. I need to forgive. If I can be forgiven of all my sin, this sin surely can be forgiven. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying surely it can be forgiven. Just got a few scriptures here that would really help to cement the sort of understanding of that and appreciation for what God has done. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Colossians 1:13-14, it says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13, and you who were dead in your trespasses. I mean, before God broke into our lives, we didn't even know this sin was an issue, did we? We just sort of went through life. We didn't know we were building up, mounding up this big pile of sin, because we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Hallelujah, it says all there. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say 50%. It said, had forgiven us all our trespasses. So in the light of this, we realise, yes, it is hard to forgive sin. In the light of this, we see the wonder of it and think, yes, I must forgive. We have such a smaller debt that goes between us, one another, than that of us between us and God. Just going to watch a video. I'll just give you a bit of background while they're queuing it up. This one always hits me. Whenever I have an issue with forgiveness, I think of this, actually. Sorry, it's quite... because it's such a key and it's quite a touching story. So Corrie ten Boom, she was a lady who was... she was a Dutch watchmaker and later a Christian writer and a public speaker who worked with her father, Caspar ten Boom. Her sister, Betsy ten Boom, and her other family members helped many Jewish people escape from the Nazis during the Holocaust in World War II by hiding them in her home. She believed that her family carried out the actions by following the will of God. They were caught and she was arrested and sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. So this is a story about her, and this is her responding to having to forgive.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin, and there came a man to me and said, "Ah, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?" Suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian, I have found the Lord Jesus, I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either, but he can.
Thank you. Great stuff there. I mean, wow. Being in that situation. Great. I mean, your sister dies and you're... Would you stand? I just want to encourage you just to open your heart, let God speak to you this morning. Maybe there is somebody who has offended you. Maybe there's somebody who has done something a long, long time ago, but you've just buried it. Maybe it was a friend at school. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody who's not even with us. Maybe it's a parent who needs to be forgiven. Maybe it's a partner who's left you. Maybe somebody divorced you. Maybe it's somebody, maybe it's just a neighbour. Just want you to just come before God and just open your heart to that. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit prompting you of that. That maybe that person, it might be in the forefront of your mind, but it may well be hidden and you've pushed it down for years. But you need to forgive that person. You need to say in your heart, I forgive you. You offended me, but I forgive you. I look and I see that I've been forgiven of all my sins by Jesus. Jesus took on the cross my sin and shame. And I forgive you. If he can take away my debt that I could not pay, then surely I'm going to forgive you now. Just like Corrie ten Boom reached a hand out, just pray that forgiveness to that person in your heart. God wants us to be set free from these things. God wants us to be set free from bitterness, from resentment. And he wants to speak into your heart this morning. Just quiet yourself before God and let him speak to you. While you're doing that as well, I just want to speak to those who perhaps don't know you, Lord. Lord, there's those of you here that perhaps don't even have thought about forgiveness before. You might not have even thought about sin and what that was. But we know, we can see across this world, especially today, that sin is rampant. Sin is everywhere. And unfortunately, we are sin factories. We just create it every day, offending in our thoughts and our deeds. And that has caused a block between us and God. And we need to come into a place and say, Lord, I acknowledge that you are holy. And the wall, there's been a wall between us because of the sin that I've committed. And Jesus has died in your place for that sin. Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. And he's come to take that sin away from you. If you would trust, just like Peter did, he came and said, Lord, he bent the knee and said, you are my Lord. We need to do that and accept the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, to accept that he died in our place to free us from this sin, this offence that has been towards God all this time. If you're in that place, I just encourage you just to speak with the person who brought you about what Jesus did by dying on the cross for you, taking away your sin and your shame. Lord Jesus, we just want to, we stand here, Lord, knowing what we're like, knowing what's gone in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you've overseen. You're like that king. He knew about that debt. He knew that debt of 100,000, or whatever, 10,000 bags of gold. He saw that mounting and he saw that opportunity to cancel that debt. And just like all of us, Lord, we stand here appreciating the fact that you've cancelled the debt of our sin, Lord. And we just want to forgive those people who have offended us in our lives. We don't want to say, do you know what, you're released. We forgive you. I'm not going to be held by this bitterness anymore. I forgive you. You are. One thing that really helps me is if I imagine that person before me and how I feel towards them. It's a key thing there. And when you forgive, there's a release and you feel that you can be in their presence again. And I just pray that over your people this morning, Lord God. Lord, this morning I just pray you'd come and work in our hearts. Continue to speak with us this week, Lord, about people in our lives that we've not forgiven. Lord, we've been forgiven so much. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation you've given us. And may we live it throughout our time this week. Amen. 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 Thank you this morning. Sorry for the interruption.